begin reading at verse 23. It's important to understand that when the Apostle Paul wanted to give instruction to the Corinthians regarding the Lord's Supper, he went back to Jesus' words and the institution of the Lord's Supper by Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that when we read the Heidelberg Catechism, that's what the Reformed Confession did as well. It went back to Jesus' words and his institution of the Lord's Supper. And here today, in this day in 2020, we also must go back to the words of Jesus Christ for our understanding of the sacrament. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We begin at verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come." Thus far we read the word of God this morning. May God bless the reading of his word. We consider question and answer 78 and 79 this morning, Lord's Day 29. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing of away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof appointed of God, so the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that as bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Spirit, as we receive by the mouths of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own persons suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, where after Jesus broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, we have it recorded for us that he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." The crucial question is, what did Jesus mean when he said, "This is my body"? You understand that The question also is, what did Jesus mean when he said of the cup, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood"? I'm not going to keep referring to both in the sermon, because when you rightly understand what he meant when he said, "This is my body," then you also understand what he meant when he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." What did Jesus mean when he said, "This is my body"? That was the crucial question at the time of the Reformation. And the Roman Catholic Church said to John Calvin and the other reformers then, and continues to say to Reformed believers today, "You do not really understand those words, 'This is my body,' properly." When John Calvin denied that Jesus' body is physically present in the sacrament, he was denying the Roman Catholic doctrine of transubstantiation. That doctrine of transubstantiation says that Jesus' body is physically present, that the bread becomes the body of Jesus Christ. John Calvin said, "No, that's not true." The Roman Catholic Church defended itself by pointing to these words. Jesus said, "This is my body," and the Roman Catholic understanding is that those words plainly and truly mean the bread has become the body of Jesus Christ, physically become his body. These words are also important in the controversy between the Lutherans and those who are of the Reformed faith, such as we are. The Lutherans do not believe in transubstantiation. You know that the word for their view is consubstantiation. The Lutherans, therefore, do not believe that the bread changes into the body of Jesus Christ, so that it's not bread but Jesus' body. But the Lutherans believe that the bread is attached to, or the body of Jesus is attached to the bread, maybe the better way to put it, so that the body of Jesus Christ is physically in, with, and under the bread. And when John Calvin and the other reformers said to Martin Luther and those who followed Luther, "No, there's no physical presence of Jesus Christ with the bread, in, with, and under it," Luther's response, Luther himself, his response was to keep quoting these words of Jesus. He keep pointing to them, "This is my body, this is my body." And Luther's view was similar to the Roman Catholic view, that the plain, simple meaning of these words is that Jesus Christ's body is physically present in the sacrament. Now this is important because the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans, in taking this position that the physical presence of Jesus is obviously intended by his words, "This is my body," they say, they present it this way, that they are the ones who take the words of Scripture and the words of Jesus Christ seriously, and the implication is that the Reformed, such as we are, we have to run from these words of Jesus Christ, "This is my body." We have to try to ignore them in order to maintain our position on the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And so, they try to make it appear this way. You Reformed folk like to talk about sola scriptura, Scripture alone. All of your doctrine is based on Scripture. But the reality is that we Roman Catholics, and then the Lutherans in their own way, claim we are the ones who are faithful to the words of Scripture, and you Reformed believers, you have to depart from Scripture in your understanding of the Lord's Supper. If true, that would be very serious. But our position this morning is that we are the ones who truly and rightly understand the words of Jesus Christ. We don't run from them. We take them very seriously. We, like the Apostle Paul, go back to those words and say, we have to know what Jesus Christ meant when he said, "This is my body, and this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood." And we do believe that Jesus meant what he said, and was saying, I am present in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. But our position is that by taking the words of Jesus Christ literally and saying that Jesus meant he was physically present in the Lord's Supper, that it's the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans who are actually denying the plain meaning of Jesus' words. They're the ones who are actually twisting the words of Jesus Christ so that they have the wrong view of the sacrament. The Reformed, in confessing that Jesus Christ is not physically but spiritually present in the sacrament, are the ones who truly believe the words of Jesus and rightly understand the words of Jesus when he said, "This is my body." And this is important for the command. Jesus doesn't simply say, "This is my body," but he says, "Take, eat, this is my body." And you understand that if Jesus was saying, he wasn't saying this, but if he was saying, "This is physically my body," then the manner of partaking of the sacrament that is important is the physical manner of physically eating and drinking. But if Jesus meant, and this is what he meant, "This is my body as a symbol of my spiritual presence," then the manner of eating and drinking must be spiritual. It must be an eating and drinking not only physically with our mouths, but spiritually by faith. And so let's consider this morning as we come to the table. These words of Jesus Christ, "This is my body." First of all, as they teach us the true presence of Jesus Christ in the sacrament, and secondly, as they instruct us with regard to the true proper partaking of Jesus in the sacrament. The literal interpretation, "This is my body," which means that Jesus was speaking of his physical presence in the sacrament, might at first sound like the plain meaning of Jesus in those words, but when we dig into it further, we see this isn't at all the plain meaning of Jesus in those words. What was Jesus pointing to when he said, "This is my body"? If Jesus was pointing to his body, if he was standing before his disciples and pointing to his body like I am now and said, "This is my body," well then the simple and plain meaning is that Jesus is saying, "This is his physical body." It'd be kind of like pointing to a city like Jenison and saying, "This is Jenison." And then you'd have to say, "Well, now the plain meaning is, this refers to Jenison." But the problem is that Jesus didn't point to his body and say, "This is my body." Jesus had broken bread, and he had distributed that bread to the disciples, and the "this" of "this is my body" was not his physical body, but it was the bread. That would be like now pointing to not the city itself, but to a map, and saying, "This is Jenison." And what's the plain meaning of those words? "This is Jenison," when you're pointing at a map. And then you understand that it's not so simple to say, "Well, that's actually the city of Jenison," or "That's actually," when you're pointing to the bread, "the body of Jesus Christ." An interpretation has to be made. An explanation of what one means, of what Jesus meant by those words, has to be given. And that's important to remember. The Roman Catholics and the Lutherans, too, wanted to present it this way. In our view, we really don't have to interpret Jesus' words. We don't have to give an explanation of his meaning. It's plain. "This is my body" means this is my physical body. But when you say, "Wait a minute, Jesus was pointing to the bread, and he was saying of the bread, not his body, but the bread, this is my body," well, now you have to give me an interpretation. You have to explain what you mean, what Jesus meant by those words. And that's, in fact, what the Roman Catholics have to do. They cannot simply say, well, look at the words, that's it, this is my body. No, they have to explain how they interpret Jesus' words, and then you find out that they have to say two things. First, when Jesus consecrated the bread, he powerfully did something to the bread. And the second is then that the bread, as a result of that powerful work of Jesus, isn't bread anymore. It looks like bread, it tastes like bread, but it is actually Jesus' body. Now here's the point. Jesus said, this is my body. The Roman Catholics don't take those words simply that way, this is my body, but they actually have to change those words into, this has become my body. So that if you search the scriptures in Matthew 26 or in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you will find that neither Jesus nor Paul say anything like that. Nowhere will you find in scripture any statement that Jesus powerfully changed the bread in the consecrating of the sacrament. Nowhere will you find in scripture any statement that the bread has become the physical body of Jesus Christ. And you understand then, the Roman Catholic Church cannot say, we're just taking the words of scripture and reading out of scripture for our view. But what they actually are doing is they're reading into Scripture and they're putting their thoughts into what the Word of God has to say. This is true also of the Lutherans. They want us to think that they take the plain meaning and the plain words of Scripture. But their view is very similar to the Roman Catholics. They, like the Roman Catholics, believe that at the time that the sacrament is consecrated by Jesus or by the minister, that there's a power that is exercised to change something. Now the bread doesn't change into the body of Jesus Christ, but there's a powerful change in which the body of Jesus Christ is added to the bread so that you don't just have bread anymore, but you have bread with the body of Jesus Christ. And again, I say, search the scriptures. Where in Jesus' words or in the teaching of Paul do you read anything of that when the minister breaks the bread, that the body of Jesus Christ is added to the bread? You don't find that. You do not find that in Scripture. We must understand the words of Jesus Christ plainly are figurative. When you think of figurative language, don't think, well, now that's complicated and that's a difficult interpretation of the words. No. When people speak figuratively and then we interpret those words figuratively, we are taking those words in the plain and the proper sense of the meaning of those words. Go back to the comparison or the illustration of a map. If someone is pointing to a map and they say, here is Canada, you understand that it's not putting a spin on things or making things complicated to say, well, they don't mean that's really the country of Canada, but they mean that's a symbol that represents Canada. That's the plain and simple meaning of their words. To give another illustration, think of a picture. That's what we have to understand. Jesus is using sacramental language, sign language, and not sign language for people who cannot hear, but picture language and symbol language. And so if you have a picture and you say, this is Grandpa, you understand. It wouldn't do justice to those words to say, well, now the picture has become Grandpa. That would be a twisting of the meaning of the person who said, this is Grandpa. And it wouldn't do justice to those words if someone said, well, still a picture, but with the picture is the real presence of Grandfather. That doesn't do justice either. You understand a picture And this is the real and plain meaning of the person who says, "This is Grandpa." You understand this means this represents our grandfather. A sacrament, remember, in its basic definition, is a visible symbol of a spiritual reality, a visible picture of some other invisible reality. This helps us understand why we have to interpret Jesus' words figuratively, not literally. The Catechism points us to the comparison between the Lord's Supper and baptism to help us here. In baptism, the sign is water. That water is not the reality that washes away sin. Jesus didn't appoint water as a sign to indicate that's the reality, but the whole point of a sacrament is there's this visible sign that points to something else as the reality, so that we don't look at the water of baptism and say, now that becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. It remains water as a sign that points to another reality. Well, this is true of the bread and the wine in the Lord's Supper. And I want you to understand this. If the bread changes so that it's not bread anymore and it becomes the body of Jesus Christ, do you see how then we don't have a sign anymore? See, the sign's to point to something else, but if that bread becomes the very body of Jesus Christ, it's not a sign, it's the reality, and then the Lord's Supper is no longer a sacrament with a visible sign pointing to a spiritual reality. But when we understand that Jesus Christ was holding up bread and saying, now this is bread, but this is my body as a sign of my body, we can see that we have to keep those things separate. The bread has to remain a sign that points to the spiritual reality of the body of Jesus Christ. And then, too, we have to remember the one thing that the sacraments really point us to. And it's not merely the body of Jesus Christ, but to the crucified body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This helps us to remember that the whole point of the sacrament is not at all to give to us any physical blessing or any physical thing to take part of, but what is spiritual. There is a certain sense in which, in focusing on eating the physical body and blood and drinking the physical blood of Jesus Christ, the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans take away our focus from the cross of Jesus Christ. And I don't mean this to be silly at all, although it might sound a little silly. The Roman Catholics and the Lutherans, instead of focusing on the crucified body and blood of Jesus Christ, but focusing on his physical body and blood, really do promote cannibalism. The Reformers said that, and they were right to say that. The Roman Catholic and Lutheran view is to be condemned for this reason too. Scripture nowhere demands, in fact forbids, the eating of physical flesh and the drinking of physical blood. But the point is that Jesus Christ was not simply standing before the disciples and saying, now this bread is a symbol of my body as I am now standing before you here in this upper room. But Jesus was pointing to the cross. He broke the bread and he poured out the wine and he said, this is now a symbol of my sacrifice and death and the spiritual power of that sacrifice and death. And he instituted the Lord's Supper not to say this, you need my physical presence to feed and nourish your stomachs, but you need my spiritual presence to do you spiritual good. And then this does raise the question that the Reformers put to the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans. Let's say you're right. that Jesus Christ is physically present in the sacrament, what good will that do you spiritually? What do we have need of, beloved? What we have need of is the forgiveness of sins, the taking away of our guilt before the holy God, before whom we have to be made right. What we need is a spiritual thing, don't you see? What we need is spiritual righteousness. What we need is spiritual salvation, the right to go to heaven. And then when it comes to what nourishment we need, we don't need physical nourishment, but spiritual nourishment. What good will it do you in the battle against the devil physically to eat Jesus' body? What good will it do you to fight against the temptation of the world in your own sinful flesh physically to eat the body of Jesus Christ? How will drinking the blood of Jesus Christ physically strengthen you to keep God's commandments, to live in love for God and the neighbor? And the answer is, it won't do you any good to have the physical body and blood of Jesus Christ. But what you need is indeed the presence of Christ. We do take those words seriously when Jesus says, "This is my body." He did teach, "I will be present in this sacrament in the way you need me to be present, spiritually, to give you what you need spiritually." He comes spiritually this morning in the sacrament to give us his body and his blood in a spiritual way to make us partakers of his death on the cross and all the benefits that he earned for us there. Beloved, when in a little while you hold the bread and you hold the cup, don't think, "Well, now I'm holding the physical body and the physical blood of Jesus Christ for my good." But think this. By the operation of the Holy Spirit, that's what the Lord's Day says, I am now, in eating this bread and drinking this cup, become a partaker of the sufferings and the obedience of Jesus Christ. As certainly are these mine as if I had, in my own person, suffered and made satisfaction to God for my own sins. I hope you understand, this is my body, plainly and clearly, is symbolic language that points to, though, a spiritual reality of the crucified Lord Jesus Christ coming and making us partakers of him and his benefits on the cross. This means that eating and drinking alone, physically, eating and drinking alone, is not enough to partake of Jesus Christ this morning. Now, that isn't to deny that you are called physically to eat the bread and drink the wine. If you stay away from the table and the command of Jesus Christ to come eat and drink, that's a sign of unbelief, and that is sinful. But because Jesus is not physically present in the sacrament, it's not enough to eat and to drink physically. And here we come to another one of our objections to the Roman Catholic and the Lutheran view of the sacrament. And that is this: to partake of Jesus Christ, we all can agree, is to receive the grace of Jesus Christ, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And if everyone who uses their physical mouth to eat and to drink receives the physical body and blood of Jesus Christ, then every one of them receives the grace of Jesus Christ. Elect and reprobate, regenerate and unregenerate, believers and unbelievers. Now, to be fair to Martin Luther and his position, We do have to note that he also emphasized the importance of believing, not simply physical eating and drinking. Nevertheless, in his view of the Lord's Supper, that the body and blood of Jesus Christ is physically in, with, and under the bread and the wine, Luther cannot escape the charge that he was saying everyone who partook of the sacrament ate and drank Christ and received his grace. And you understand that diminishes God's grace. That makes God's grace powerless, ineffectual. That means that there are many people who receive the grace of Jesus Christ in the sacrament and yet are not saved unto heaven by that grace of God, but actually many of them fall into hell even though they receive God's grace. The truth is that as we eat and drink physically, we must also eat and drink spiritually by believing. That means that those who come and eat and drink physically without exercising faith, because they don't have faith or because with their faith they're not actively exercising it, they do not really eat and drink Jesus Christ or receive his grace. And the key word in the catechism here this morning is the word remembrance. How do you receive the testimony that the sufferings and the obedience of Jesus Christ are really yours? It's not by physical eating and drinking, but it's this: as we receive by the mouths of our bodies, that's the physical eating and drinking, as we receive by the mouths of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him. This is not physical eating. This is a spiritual activity of faith to remember. About 2,000 years ago, Jehovah God, the holy God before whom I in myself am guilty, before whom I cannot ever be right in myself, gave his only begotten Son to the death of the cross to pay for my sins. Remember that. Believe that. And that is spiritual eating and drinking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You're to look at the sign. It's what the bread is, a sign. And by faith, as you are holding that sign and eating that sign with your mouth, remember and believe that Jesus' body was broken and his blood was shed to pay for your sins. When it comes down to it, the meaning of Jesus when he said, "This is my body, take, eat," is very simple. Because in the end, what Jesus was saying in that institution of the Lord's Supper is the same thing that he says in the gospel. And in the gospel, Jesus Christ does not say, "Come, take, eat and drink my flesh and blood physically and you shall be saved." But Jesus Christ says, "Come, believe in me and thou shalt be saved." And that's the very same thing that Jesus Christ calls you to do this morning in the sacrament. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be eating and drinking not with your mouth, but with your faith and partaking of his grace and salvation. Amen. We will turn now to the form for the Lord's Supper found in the back of the Psalter on page 91. Before we read that, I will read the following announcement, and that is that in obedience to the will of Christ that the church supervises admission to the Lord's table, only members of the congregation and those who have received permission from the consistory are permitted.